We are blessed that you have tuned in to Take Time for Jesus. We pray that you will be inspired by the message. Our goal is to preach Jesus to this lost and dying world. At the end of the broadcast, we will give you our address where you can email us and the P.O. box where you can write to us.
Praise the Lord. Good afternoon. Once again, it's time to take time for Jesus. We thank you for inviting us into your home, to your automobiles, by the computer, however you're receiving us. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. We thank you today for his opportunity that he has given unto us, that we can be able to come to your homes once again. And we just thank him for all of the blessings that he has bestowed upon us spiritually, physically, and financially. We greet you in his name because, as far as I'm concerned, the Bible does not declare any other name. He said that there's no other name given among men whereby that we can be saved but at the name of Jesus. So I appreciate him today and thank him for the finished works of Calvary, there that he gave his life, shed his blood for yours and my salvation. So it's to him that whom that we owe all praise and honor and glory. So we give him the praise for it today and thank him for his amazing grace. As we go before the Lord at this time, we want you to pray with us as we pray one for another and pray for our nation. It's in a doldrum of a molting period or something or another. It's in trouble anyway, but nevertheless, we need to pray for them that leaders, that they'll get their hearts right or get out of the way and let God take control. But I just thank God today for his mercy. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your love and your grace, for that precious blood that you shed there on Calvary's cross, that for the remission of our sins, we give you the praise and the glory. Ask that you would touch the ears of the ear and a heart to receive whatever that you would have them to know about these days in which we live, because they're perilous times. Oftentimes, all that you hear about is prosperity and them that's trying to steal the money out of their pockets for this or that or one thing or another. But Lord, I want to warn them of the things that's to come upon the land, that they may flee from the wrath, that they may be into the part of the kingdom of God, that they will escape some of the things that's coming upon this world and not be cast into hell. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. We thank you for all things. We give you praise in all things, and we look to thee to be the author and finisher of our faith. We honor you and praise you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We pray, amen and amen. I think my wife's got something over here for you, so listen to her. Read what it is that she's got. God bless you.
Well, I just consider it an honor to be able to share with you what the Lord has put on my heart this afternoon, and I've read it before. It's called Hear the Alarm, but we need to listen to the alarm. You watch the news and everything and look to Israel, the things that are happening around and about. We need to wake up. And if you could look around and see what is happening in this country and your inner alarm doesn't go off, you are getting used to the darkness that is descending upon this nation. If you can listen to your local and national news networks and hear of all the crime, violence, and corruption reported in America in just one day, and your alarm doesn't sound like a naval ship called to the battle station, there's something drastically wrong with you. If you could be that awareness, part of your mind has been calloused by the constant bombardment of garbage from the corrupt and perverse ideologies pervading our society today. In the 60s, America officially and by law kicked God out of our schools. And since that time, the SAT scores have plunged 73%. The divorce rate went up and teen pregnancy soared. Hear the alarm, what's happening in America today. Violent crime has risen 500%, and rioting has ripped our cities. The streets of America have become a battlefield. That infamous decade marked the beginning of the end for the world's greatest nation. The list is unending, and people are disillusioned and discouraged. In the Tampa area alone, people are so discouraged or apathetic, 70% and probably more by now, do not even attend church. Since 1973, 30 million unborn human beings have been slaughtered. And if you don't understand that, that means they've been aborted. People don't want, they do the sonogram, they see that they're going to have a girl, they don't want it, they want a boy, they'll kill them. God does not put a baby in your womb to kill it. 1,000 babies a day are born addicted to drugs. In one out of every four families in America, the child are sexually abused. Hear the alarm. We are becoming a nation of people with hearts so hardened that there's no respect for human life. God is speaking to unhearing and unheeding nation even now. Hear his alarm and wake up. He is speaking to us through physical calamities, rampant crime and senseless violence, drug and alcohol abuse, immoral and corrupt leadership, and many other ways. Yet the church continues to major on entertainment and pop psychology while the masses ignore the church altogether. We need to remember God's warning and hear the alarm. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. And that's Psalm 9:17. The way out of this sinking sand is simple. We need a real revival and not superficial emotionalism. We need to make an unconditional commitment to the true God and his eternal purposes, the God and his principles that this nation was founded upon, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Turn back to the eternal God who is revealed in his written word and centered in our Creator, Savior, and soon coming King, the Lord Jesus Christ. If we do this, the rewards will be unimaginable and the restoration miraculous. If we do nothing and continue to ignore the alarm which is sounding, the consequences will tantamount to a hell on earth. We can choose to ignore the sounding alarm, but we cannot choose the consequences of our actions. The Bible puts it simply in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, don't go another day without bowing your head and asking him to come in your heart. Today is a day of salvation. Tomorrow may never come for you. Today is the day you should repent. Not just say a sinner's prayer, but from your heart, repent for the things that you've done. And God will forgive you if you really, sincerely mean it. Then don't go back Monday and do what you did before, but make a turn. Turn about 365 days and go around the other way and walk each day as if it were your last. Take each minute as if it's your last breath. Each moment, savor the moment. And sing, if you can't sing, the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. But put Jesus first in every day of your life, and he'll put first you first also. Here's Brother Earl.
Yes, we need to take into consideration of the times that we're living, for they are perilous times. A lot of people has a lot of controversy about when this and when that, and when all this is going to try to take place. My friend, we heard the news that how that they are bombarding Israel and how that Israel has the right to retaliate from their ways that they are treating them. But this is a place where often's been said Israel is the melting pot. We need to realize that all the destructive things is going to start when all these nations comes against Israel, they're going to be a catastrophe that is going to happen that we have never seen ever take place. God's not going to allow these people to destroy Israel as they have their heart set on to annihilate them and do away with them. God is not going to allow that. He hasn't forsaken his people. He just put them back for a little bit to get all the Gentiles that would come, and there's going to come a time when the Gentile part of it will be over, when it's all done away with, and God's going to turn again into Israel, and he's going to bring them forth. He's going to take out of a people, and he's going to have a people out of Israel. Whether these commentaries want to realize it or not, or where our government or that government or the other nations want to realize it, God has not forsaken Israel, as some people may have think that he has. They've been through the mill, so you say, since they denied him and the Lord Jesus Christ, but they have suffered much, and still they are suffering much, but God's going to be on their side, and he's going to fight the battle for them. A friend, today that we realize that the scriptures is truth. A lot of people says, oh, the church will not go through any tribulations. Don't you count on it. For the simple fact that you're going through a mess of a problem right now. And so people that says that the church is not going to go through any troubles, any trials, any tribulations, then, honey, it should have done been gone long time ago. For there's persecution on the church. Some of these people are down in it, and they're caring against it and everything. But I want you to know that God's got a people, and this people is going to be faithful to him even unto death. And the Bible declares it to be that he said, when John looked and he asked him, he said, who are these? And he said it was a number unnumberable and everything. And he said, these are them that came out of great tribulations. They washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. They held not their life dear unto themselves, but they let them be killed for a testimony. Now, my friend, where are we at today? We're living in perilous times. You can go down this any time. You can pick up the newspaper or hear the radio, and people are just going down the street minding their own business, and somebody come along, decide they want to shoot them. That's the way it is. It was the same way in Noah's day, that they taken time to go out and they would do whatever they felt like was good to them. Whatever they thought was right in their heart, they would do it. And the time as we're living in today is the same time that it was like unto Noah's day, and Sodom and Gomorrah mixed in there with it. We got the homosexuals, we got sin running rampant, we've got senators and a lot of other dignitaries that's involved in rights to marriage rights to them of the same sex and everything. My friend, the Bible speaks about, as it was in the days of Noah and as the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And we're at that time. The world is being engulfed by sin, and there's been some people that are speaking out against it. But sooner or later, it's going to come to be that these sinful people is going to hunt them out, and they may be go into jail or destroyed or whatever. But my friend, as long as that there is till an opportunity to let you know that what God has to say, if we look into the scriptures in the ninth chapter of the book of Revelations, it reads like this. He said, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven into the earth, and to him was given the keys to the bottomless pits. And he opened the bottomless pits, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air was darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as a scorpion of the earth has power. And it was commanded to them that they hurt not, that they should not hurt the green of the earth, the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. My friend, it's come the time that these things are going to come to pass. If it weren't so, then it would have not been no reason for John to record it in the book of Revelations. A lot of people have got the church has gone out in the fourth chapter of Revelations. John was not the church. He was there on the Isle of Patmos to write to the seven churches, to write to them. And when it was finished, he was taken back to the mainland, and he died an old man. So I asked the question, if John was a church, when he heard behind him a sound there, and he looked, and he was the door open, and he said, come up here. He said, it's true. He said, come up here, and I will show you the things that must be hereafter. My friend, but John was, if he was the church, then he came back to, or the church gonna come back to earth and die? I don't think so, but John was there to write the book of Revelations to warn you and I of the things that are yet to come. These things will come to pass, maybe in your day and maybe in mine, and it may not be, but nevertheless, it's going to be some people that's going to be here, and these scorpions give power there. They ain't nothing but demons out of the bottomless pits of hell, and they shape like scorpions and has the power in their tail like a scorpion. Now, my friends, when a scorpion strikes you today, it's a very painful thing, and the flesh will rot out around where they stung you at. Some of them, even if you enough of it there, it'll kill you. But these is given to how they can't kill there, but just torment for 5 months. And for that 5 months of torment, people that was being stung by them will seek death, and death will flee from them. I say that death will take a holiday, a 5 month holiday. But I want you to know that the time of a scorpion striking a man would be very painful. But it says to them that it would do. He was told them that they the seal of God in the forehead, they can't bother them. God in the land of Goshen, when there was trouble in the land of Egypt, flies and all these things was happening in Egypt, God had spared the children of Israel in the land of Goshen, and they still had light in the camp. They didn't have the scorpion, the flies, and all them things like they did in Egypt. And when the blood on the lintel, on the doorpost and the lintel was placed there, and he told the children of Israel to stay in, and the death angel visit the firstborn of there of Egypt, he took them all. God has a plan, and his plan is not going to be interrupted by the devil or none of these politicians or anything. It's going to be fulfilled down to the letter. Now, we either going to be in the realm of God, or we're going to be all outside, and we're going to have to face up to reality. Somewhere or another in your life, you're going to come, if you go by the way of the grave, you're still going to come up at the resurrection of the dead, and they're going to come before God and to be judged for whether they done good or bad. My friend, it's come a time that we need to judge ourselves and to judge that we are wrong and he's right. And we need to call upon the name of the Lord while there is time and before all these things begin to take place, and that the going forth there and just give your heart to God. It's time you realize that the troubles that are upon us from all points of the universe, there's all kinds of problems happening. There's disaster happening. Look at how the people have suffered through the things that's happening because of the weather. It's nothing compared to what this is going to be for 5 months when the scorpions begin to sting them that know not God, have not the seal of God in their forehead. And we need to realize that we need to take control of our lives today and let God come into our life. And let him help us to repent of our sins. If we don't repent from the things of our sinful life and allow God to come into our life, then we're going to suffer some of these things except you go by the way of the grave. But my friend, if you're called up out of the grave, them that dead in Christ shall rise first. Them that remain to be alive shall be changed in a moment. Them in the grave is went into corruption, but he said they'll come from incorruption to from corruption to incorruption. And them that were still remain to be the flesh, it's going to be from mortal to immortality. My friend, but first and foremost, we're going to have to make it to the place that we're in, that either we die in Christ or that we be sinful and be cast into hell. The decision is yours. You and I have the same opportunity to choose today whom we shall serve. A lot of people have served all kinds of things, but are they right with God? Some of them say they're Christians, but they go out and do all kinds of things that is a plumb against God's nature. They go out and get drunk and they carry on and commit adultery and everything, but you ask them, are they a Christian? Or some of them will tell you yes. My friend, it shouldn't be that way. As my wife was speaking a while ago, most of the world as we know it today has dismissed God from their presence. But God's not gone nowhere. He's still the same one, but he's taken leave. He sat back and see if you can work it out by yourself. But honey, you can't do nothing without him. I don't care. You can say you accomplished this and you accomplished that. But when you leave God out of it, you think about the man here not just a short time ago, that he got way up on the ladder. He was a head honcho. But because of the fall that he made, caught doing things he shouldn't have done, he might have one time said, I'm a Christian. I don't know. But see where he's at today. He's being ridiculed. He lost it all simply because he decided that some other woman looked better than the one he was married to, possibly. But my friend, today we need to realize that God is on the throne and he is going to see through all things is fulfilled according to his word and his way. It's not your will. It's not your way. Your thoughts and my thoughts are not even comparison. God's ways and his thoughts are higher than ours. The heavens is his throne and the earth is his footstool. So wherein that we would build a house that would contain him. But Lord, yet and still he will come into your life and he will dwell in a temple not made with hands. The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, to come and dwell in the temple. And he said, if you destroy this temple, I'll destroy you in hell. But it's plain and simple. It's up to you. You can be a temple of the Holy Ghost, or you let the devil come in there and rule and reign on you and bring you down into hell, whether it was prepared for him and his angels, or you can live for the Lord, repent of your sins, and do right for him, and you can have eternal life with him. It's up to you. It's your decision. It's my decision. I decide to turn my life over to him and let him rule in my life. And I don't regret a bit of it. Been over 40 years, and I just thank God for his mercy that he had on me before then. Still, his mercy I appreciate and his grace. But my friend, today, if I had died when I was in my sins, I'd have busted hell wide open. So would many others. There's just saying you're a Christian is not being a Christian. Living the life separated from the sins of the world and the lust of the flesh will make a difference there. These scorpions is going to give power to torment people that have not the seal of God in the forehead. All these things is going to start over in the Far East, in Jerusalem, around over in there, and it's going to spread over into the United States. It's already been a proven fact. The Spirit of God gave out a message here not long ago, and he said that it was going to start in the East, and it was going to spread into the West. Not too many days after that, they flew them airplanes into the towers up there and destroyed destroyed them. My friend, we're living in perilous times. It's time for you to wake up and get a hold of your coffee and get your eyes wide awake and get your brain functioning. Wake up to reality and know that God's will is going to be done whether you like it or whether I like it or not. It's whether the heads of states likes it. It ain't going to make no difference to him. He's going to bring it all to judgment, and them that love not God is going to perish by the sword of God. His wrath is going to be poured out upon them. I don't care how high up the ladder he got. If he got up there by the with God's help and he recognized God and give him praise and glory, he'll come out on top. But if he got up there through crooks and wicks and things of that and stepping on the people to get up there and lying and cheating, he's going to come down one day and he'll bust hell wide open. And that's the where it's going to be. My friend, it's time we begin to realize that if we build our house upon the sand, it's going to tumble. If we build it upon the solid foundation, which is Christ Jesus, the rock of our salvation, it'll stand against the wiles of the devil and be able to stand the test of time and the test of the tribulations that's coming upon the land. Oh, they say, well, the church ain't going to be, and some says it's going to go out before, some during, and some afterwards. It don't make no difference, my friend, if it goes out before, during or after. If you're not repented of your sins and you have not been born again of the water and the Spirit, accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to bust hell wide open. It's plain and simple. I hate to say it, but it's truth. No, I don't hate to say it because it is the truth. If you're not a child of God, you're a child of the devil. And the devil and all the false prophets and all them other gods, the false gods and all of them people, the Bible says they're going to be cast into hell along with the devil. So now, it's your choice. It's time you realize. Think about it. I've never had a scorpion to sting me, but I've talked to two or three that has, and they said it's a very painful thing. It hurts down, slap all over your body. Now, just think about it. For 5 months that they'll torment men and sting them for 5 months, their desire to die and seek death, and death would flee from them because they're wanting to get out of that tormented in agony, pain, and suffering, but they can't die. So death will take a 5-month holiday. But I want you to know that God has got everything under control. He's got his children, his people that have been born again, and they got their names on the Lamb's Book of Life and the seal of God in their forehead. These scorpions won't have no power over them. They was given a commandment that they not bother them, but only those that have not the seal of God in their forehead. The mark of the beast, the devil had to come up with a mark himself. So he gonna put it on the head or the palm of their hand. Now, I don't know what it's going to be. It says it's going to be the number of a man, and they come up to be 666. But where that man and his name, I do not know, and I haven't found anybody that could really tell me for sure that he is. Some said it was Hitler, some Mussolini, and fella over there in Russia, and different ones and everything. Some of them said that this or that, but I want you to think about it. It makes no difference what his name is going to be, but Paul said he would be revealed in his time. And when that time comes, and the Israel, they'll make a peace pact, maybe the Bible says for about 7 years, but in the middle of that time, he'll break that peace treaty, and the old Antichrist is going to step up there and declare himself to be God, and the peace that was will be turned into sudden destruction. So make your election sure. Make it safe. Be hid in the name of the Lord. For the Bible says it's in the name of the Lord is a strong tower to where the righteous can go into and are saved. Mm-hmm. Honey, if you're not hid in the name of Jesus in that strong tower, you'll go down in defeat. It's not God's will that you should, but if you desire to do it, he'll let you do it. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repent. We need to realize that the book was wrote for yours and my benefit. It's a roadmap from the cradle to heaven, if you want to put it that way. Or it may be a roadmap from the cradle to the grave, because when a man comes into this world, he starts dying. His body starts deteriorating at a younger age, and the older you get, the more it deteriorates. But God has got a body prepared there in the heavens that wherein that it will be a righteous body, a glorified body. And but when we die in this old land, if we are hid in Christ, and when we raise up out of the dust of the earth, and we'll put on that new body which is made in heaven, then my friend, it would be worth all that whatever you may have to go through, whatever you may have to give up, it'll be worth it all to stand in the presence of God and see him that died for us, see the stripes on that he suffered for us and all these things. The only thing that's going to be man-made in the kingdom of God is the nail prints in his hands. Oh, there's only two winning hands, and they was nailed to a tree, my friend. If you're not in the winning side, you're going to be lost. It's plain and simple. There ain't but one way that you can be born again, and that's through Jesus Christ. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. It's up to you. If you want to hang around here and God permits it to be that these things come in your lifetime, in my lifetime, you want to be stung and tormented by these scorpions, it's up to you. Just continue in your sins and seeking after doing whatever and allowing these things to happen to you. It'll be entirely on you. God didn't choose it for you. You choose it for yourself, because he made you and I have a mind to choose what we would do. He made us a free moral agent, in other words, if you want to put it that way. You can choose to where you can serve God or serve mammon. A man has got the right to choose. We choose a president every 4 years. Sometimes we make the mistake and we choose the wrong one and we get into trouble. But I want you to know that if you choose Jesus as your king and your Lord, you won't have no get into trouble. You may come to trouble, but the trouble will not be like the trouble that's going to come upon them that fail to worship God in spirit and in truth. It's going to come a time, my friend, that they're going to cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them, hide them from him that sits on the throne, for the wrath of him. My friend, it's time we woke up to realize that time is running short. The bells are going off. The signs and all of the wonders are taking place. All these things that are happening is all in the book. If you just take time to read it, Don't take my word exclusively for it. Read the book. Find out what the book says. Ask God to help you for understanding. He'll give you the understanding of it. But if you don't read the book, you can't understand it. You won't know. Even though if you listen to every preacher from here to yon, if you hadn't read the book, you won't know whether he's telling you the truth or not. So read the Bible. Read the Word of God. Let it be something that you do constantly, and praying and seeking after the answer which is in the book. God is not mocked. He's going to fulfill everything that he said he was going to do. And when he said that there was going to be trouble upon the land such as there never was before or nor hereafter, we can look for sure that there's trouble times ahead of us. I don't know just how long I got, no more so than you'd have how long you got. I don't know the day or the hour when the Lord comes, and these people are going around trying to predict the time of his return and everything. But let me tell you something, my friend. When Jesus comes in the clouds of glory to catch his bride away, he's not going to put his foot on the earth. He'll take his bride away, and she'll be secured for a long time. But when he comes back with the saints, all riding on them white horses, and he come to do battle, and he's going to bring all of the sinners up on the breast of the earth to fight against him, and he's going to destroy them all. My friends, now, you want to be riding up on the white horse to return with the Lord when he puts his foot on Mount Olive and it cleaves away? Or do you want to be still in the dust of the earth and waiting upon the second resurrection, whereby that when he calls them up and they'll be judged, and after that they'll be cast again into hell, which is the second death? The choice is yours. It's time we wake up to reality. Read the book, see what it has to say about you and the things that God has in store for them that love not him, but them that love him and his appearance. We find out there that he has a place of restitution waiting for them, a place of solitude, a place of peace and joy and contentment there awaiting upon them that love the Lord. My friends, it's time today that we begin to realize that the things that are happening is not just by coincidence. The weatherman says that these things, he give you a few days of warning before a hurricane comes. Used to be that they couldn't do that. It just slip up on you. Friends, I'm trying to warn you today. Don't be foolish enough to think that these things are not going to be, and let them come up on you and catch you unaware. I don't know the day or the hour that the Lord's come. You don't know a day or the hour that the thief's going to come and break into your house. But he'll come, and if you're not aware, if you know the time, you'd be prepared for it. But they come and not aware, then you better have some way of protecting yourself. But the only protection I can tell you that would keep you from the wrath of God is to being born again of the water and of the Spirit, accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's the only way that you're going to escape the things that's going to come upon the land, the only way that you're going to not be cast into hell. It's entirely up to you. These things are not just put in the book just to entice you to be good. He wants you to know that these things are real. They're going to come to pass. He wants you to spare you from these things. He wants you to live the life that he intended for you to live eternally with him. He prepared the devil for the hell for the devil and his angels, and he didn't prepare it for us. But as many people that desires to go there, hell had to be enlarged in order to receive them. So are you going to crowd your way in there and make room for you? Or are you going to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sins, accepting him, baptism, and let the Spirit of God be in your life that you don't have to go there? You don't have to. It's your decision. You can go to hell if you want to, or you can be entered into the kingdom of God. The choice is yours. It's plain, but it's truth. There's no sense of him hawing around, beating around the bush about something or other. There's only two places that the Bible speaks about, and that's heaven and hell. And we're going to be in one of the two places. If you want to go to heaven, you're going to have to repent, as he told Nicodemus, a man that was there under the law. According to the law, he was a righteous man, was in the synagogue. But when Nicodemus came to him and asked him how can he be saved, he said he must be born again. How, when a man's old, can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He said, that which is born to flesh is flesh, but that which is born to the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say, according to the word of God, he said, except a man be born again, he will in no wise enter therein. So, my friend, the thing is up to you. It's your decision. And you might say that we're in a valley of decision. You can decide whether you want to go with God or go just your own way, and the devil drag you into hell and beat you in the face with the soot. That's God will let you do it. He ain't going to make you, but if you wind up in the pits of hell, you'll wish you had have served him. God is not going to make nobody serve him, but he give them plenty of opportunity. I don't believe there's a man been born of a woman that's been born of a woman that's opened the Manox and been born there in this world, that before he dies, he had an opportunity to choose to serve God or to repent. At least once. There's nobody going to stand there and say, Lord, I didn't know. I didn't have the opportunity. I didn't this. I didn't that. It's not going to be that way, my friend. We've all had the opportunity. I believe that in my heart. You said, well, what about these little babies that are born? Well, don't worry about him. Worry about you. That little baby was born dead, and some of these women are casting them out of their womb by surgical ways or whatever they do to abort them. That little child is all right. It's you need to be worrying about. Don't be worrying about them. They're okay. I'm persuaded to believe in my heart with everything that is in wind with it. Them little babies is okay. But it's you need to worry about. I need to worry about me. I can't serve God for you and get you in there. You can't do it for me. You got to do it for yourself. You got to repent. You got to come to the Lord with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, except you want us to hang around and be tormented 5 months. You wish you could die, but you won't be able to. But then when it comes time, when these things happening, like Israel, my friend, they're suffering now, but there's going to come a time when those that thinks that they're going to persecute them to the place, annihilate them, when they see the wrath of God poured out upon them, they're going to wish they would embrace Israel, but it'll be too late. It'll be too late. If we deny God, persecute his people, we're going to suffer some consequences. Israel is God's firstborn. Israel was his first chosen. They were broken off that you and I would have the opportunity that whereby the scripture would be fulfilled, that he gave Abraham a covenant to Abraham that out of his seed that all nations would be blessed. Peter went to Cornelius, was a Gentile. The woman that was there to Jesus, and when he told her, she asked him to heal her daughter. He said, it's not meant for the children's meat to be given to the dogs. She said, but the dogs are under the table, desired from the crumbs from the children. He said, go for this sand. The devil has gone out. Your daughter's okay. My friend, today, God is merciful. But when it comes to the time that he's going to judge the world and the sinners there in it, his wrath is going to be up on them, on them that sinned and know not God. His mercy is going to be turned into wrath. So while the mercy of God is still there available for us, we need to take advantage of it and let God come into our lives. Elsewise, we're going to suffer some of the things that's going to come upon the world, and it's going to get worse from here on out. We think that everything's going to look good. We think the president and all of them's going to get the economy going, and you're going to have all of your money you need and everything. I don't count on it, my friends. Don't count on all this here stuff happening, because trouble is on the horizon. Trouble is bound to overtake the earth and the people that are in it. It's going to come as it was never before, as the Bible says that trouble will come. There'll be trouble such as was never before since the world began, never there shall be after. You think that we've had trouble now? You think the depression back in the 30s was trouble? Just wait a little while. Hang around, honey. It's going to get worse. The only betterment you can look forward to is being in the kingdom of God and being born again. And when he comes, he'll receive you unto himself. That where he is, there you will be also. That's the only betterment of it. These things are going downhill. All nations are going downhill. We're going to fall into this slump of tribulations. It's got to come in order to. Some's going to be saved. Some will repent. But there'll be many of them that's going to stand against. These drug lords is coming around. He drugs all over the world and everything. And it get the man's mind so messed up until he can't even think straight. And you go to talking to him about living right, you may as well be talking to a fence post out there somewhere or another. Because the mind has been destroyed by these drugs, alcohol, and they're boozing it up, living the life of Riley, so they say. Well, Riley went to hell one time, and I don't think he's ever come back. And a lot of people want to live that life, and they're going to be there with him. My friend, the time to refresh when it's coming, it's going to come from the Lord, but it's going to be after the church has took out. The tribulation is going to come up on the sinner, the ungodly. And if you're going to be a part of the sinner, the ungodly, you can look for the worst, for it's yet to come. But my friend, the only hope that we have is in Christ Jesus. If you don't listen to what His Word has to say and to the preachers that are preaching the truth, believe what the Word says, read for yourself. There's a lot of good preachers out there that are preaching this same message. There's a lot of them trying to persuade you with the very heart that they have to get you to be prepared, to get you to come to the Lord before it's too late. I don't know what tomorrow's going to behold. You don't, I don't, no one else does. But if God permits us to have tomorrow to behold, and you haven't repented, you may lose your life in some other way. But it's for sure the only way that we can have life is in Him. Bible says that he that saves his life shall lose his life. But he that loses his life for His sake will gain it, and it be eternal. As John described the streets of gold, he said there was a street there and a river of water running down, and there was trees growing on both sides, and every month they bore their fruits, which was for those people to eat, and the leaves for our healing. Would you want to be in that, or would you rather be in the torments of hell with the devil and all of them screaming and hollering like the rich man was when he looked up into, he died when he wouldn't even give Lazarus the crumbs from the table. But he died, and Lazarus died too. But Lazarus carried off into Abraham's bosom. The rich man in hell looked up and seen a Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom. And he asked Abraham to let him come and dip his finger in the water and just touch his tongue, for he's tormented in the flame. You want to be like that? It's your choice, my friend. Wake up to reality. Wake up to the times and the signs. Read your Bible. See what it tells you, and look around and see what's happening before it's too late. Before you fall headlong into hell there with the devil and his gang. You don't have to. You can repent. If you haven't already, you can repent and come to the Lord and have peace and contentment with Him in the hereafter, in a place that where He said He would go prepare for it. The Bible says it hadn't even entered to the thoughts of a man's thoughts of what God hath in store for them that love Him and His appearing. I love Him today. I'm like the Lord. He don't want to see none of you perish. I don't want to see you perish. It's why I preach this like I do. I want to win souls for the kingdom of God. I don't want you to lose out and be cast into hell. I want you to gain into the place that Jesus said that He would prepare for them that love Him. I want you to be born again. My friend, I can't save you. Jesus is the only one. If you come to Him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit and really mean it when you repent and ask Him to forgive you, He will. My friend, I'm no fatalist, but then I'm not going to tell you that you can do anything you want to and get by and God's going to save you anyhow and take you into the kingdom of God. I don't believe that, though there's a lot of people that does. But it's going to come a time that you're going to have to make a choice. And before it's too late, make the choice to serve God and give Him praise and honor and glory. It's time we begin to wake up to what the scripture says, read your Bible and see, and all these things that's happening around across the land and the nations throughout all these here skirmishes that's going on with these other nations that the rebels, they call them, are fighting against their government because the government is so rotten, stinking, until they need something other change there. It may come right here in the United States before it's over with, get to fighting and everything. I hope not, but it's a possibility because there's a lot of people that's disgruntled about things, and a lot of people are happy with it. So somewhere or another, it's going to come a problems that we're going to have to face up to, and it may bring on troubles that we have never had in this country before. We fought the Civil War. We fought these other wars. We meddled into other people's business. We've killed our babies. We've pushed God out of our schools. We've done all these things. It's like telling God, we don't need you no more. We're going to pay for it, my friend. We're going to pay for it. You can rest assured that the time will come when you will pay for your mistakes like it always does. It's come to the time when people have robbed and killed, and the long arm of the law catches them, puts them in prison, some of them in the electric chair or whatever, but they paid for their mistakes. So will you and I, if we don't get our hearts right with God. We'll pay for our sins and be judged and cast into hell. I'm just happy today to know that my God reigns. He has control of the situation. He'll open his arms to you and I if we'll come to him, believing and trusting in him. He hadn't closed up heaven yet. He hadn't went on a vacation. He's still willing, able to accept you. All you got to do is come to him. Come to him and accept him as your personal Savior before it's too late. Time is running short, my friend. It's time to wake up to reality. It's running short, and the time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. You nor I nor nobody else has got the promise of tomorrow. But death comes into every home, every place. Takes the young, the middle, and the old. So remember, you can go to the cemetery and you can see little graves, middle size, and big ones. My friend, death has no respect of person. It'll take you from whatever. So remember, death is only a step into the kingdom of God if you know Jesus as your personal Savior. But if you don't know him, death is a step into the hell, the pits of hell. Remember that if you don't remember nothing else. But remember, God loves you. I love you. It is my desire to win a soul for the kingdom of God. So until next week, may God richly bless you and help you to have an ear to hear and a heart to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Until next week, take time for Jesus, and we'll give him the glory and the praise for it all. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
We pray that we have said something today to point you to Calvary and draw you closer to Jesus. If you feel led of the Lord to help us get this gospel out, make your love gift to Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. And if you want to write to us or send us prayer requests, you may do so at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31. 31@yahoo.com.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a